we're going to talk about today whether in the case of canceled contracts, such as canceled house rental contracts, hotel rental contracts, Pesach programs contracts that were canceled, wedding plans, wedding contracts that were canceled because of Corona, so who bears the risk of loss? Let's begin the discussion in the Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, Siman Shin Yud Beis, If Yud Zayin. So there the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you lease a house to someone for a certain period of time, then if the house fell down, you the lessor can tell the lessee, Baizan ani masker lecha einu chayav livnoso. He says that I rented you this house, I don't have to rebuild it. Now, again, I think in today's contracts, there might be an implied, secular law would say that it's understood that there is a presumption that if I rent a house from you, the house exists and will exist. So then, or the contract says this, that you have to actually have a house. And if the house falls down, then usually the lessor is going to be responsible. I guess in the Shulchan Aruch's time, it was more like when a lessor would rent to a lessee, there was no such presumption, and the agreement was, absent any provision to the contrary, I'm leasing you this house, and you bear the risk of loss if the house falls down. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and the Ramah says, if the house burns down, it's like it fell down. But for our purposes, the Ramah writes, Nisraf kol ha'ir having makas medino, menaka lo minis chiroso, mashalo darbo. So the Ramah writes that if the whole city burnt down, well, the whole city was, and among that, this house burnt down. So then it's Makas Medina. This is a plague that it was inflicted upon the whole city. And in that case, the lessor bears responsibility. If only the house burns down where the lessee rented, the lessee bears responsibility. If the whole town burns down, including this house, and then the lessor bears responsibility, that's called Makas Medina. And therefore, the lessee does not have to pay rent. So the question, of course, is that the same thing for a pandemic. The Maharan Tikten is quoted in the Shach, in Siman Shin Lamedal Tzif Katan Gimel, where he writes that if someone leases a house to another person, and V'achach Nishava Shinoi Avir, and then there was a change in the air. There was a pandemic. V'huchruchu livroach, and therefore the lessees needed to flee from the city. U'pasach d'tzorech ha'socher l'shalim lo. So there he says that the lessee needs to pay. So again, he's saying apparently this is different than a case of the house burning down. He compares this case actually to a case of, let's say, if a wine merchant hires someone to take his wine across any boat to transport a specific set of wine barrels. Then the halacha is, and then let's say there's an unavoidable circumstance and the boat sinks. So now the wine merchant still has to pay the boat owner because the boat owner can provide a different boat. The wine merchant is preventing performance. The boat owner can provide the boat, and the wine owner cannot provide any more wine. So the boat owner is willing to provide his services, in which case, therefore, the wine merchant would have to pay. So the Maram Tikten is saying here also. So there was a pandemic. The house owner, the lessor, says, I still have my house. I can provide my house. You don't want to live in the house. That's you're not fulfilling your part of the bargain. You still have to pay. I still have a house. I can provide you for the house. So yeah, there's a pandemic, but my house is still up. If the house burned down, that's something different. Here the house is up, and therefore the lessee would have to pay. The Shach and the Taz both disagree, and they follow the simple reading, and they disagree with the Shach. And they would say the lessee does not have to pay. So, presumably, if we see how do we rule here, it would seem that if I rent a house from someone and then there's a pandemic, so I can say I follow the Shach and the Taz, and I'm not paying you. I'm not following the Maram Tikten. Question, though, arises, what if I paid up front? Is that any different? So the Machane Ephraim in Hilchos Schirus Siman Zion cites the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that essentially, if that there's a person who rented a boat to ferry him across the river, he prepaid the fee. Before he was able to use the boat, the river dried up, rendering the boat service unnecessary. Rav Nachman in this case ruled that the renter or the lessee was not entitled to a refund. And the reason why he's saying that is because that the boat remained intact, and so the boat's still there, so the boat owner can still provide the service. And but more than that, when the person who rented the boat advanced the payment, he implicitly accepted the risk of his proprietor retaining the funds. In other words, he is assuming the risk of loss by paying up front. The Machane Ephraim views the Rishalmi's conclusion as normative. Even in the situation of Makas Medina, if the rented property is still standing and technically inhabitable, and the renter prepaid the landlord, then the renter is not entitled to any refund. This is different than a case where a fire burnt down all the houses of the neighborhood, in which case the landlord must refund any payment as he is unable to provide a house to reside in. So now the question remains, what do we do halacha lemaisa? In practice, there does not appear to be a clear consensus as to how to assess the payment of a renter who is unable to benefit from a rental property due to a makas medina, especially where the money was prepaid. So I saw there was an article that was written, and it cited in a volume, Emek HaMishpat, where Yaakov Cohen wrote that during the Second Lebanon War, so there were summer rentals in the north of Israel. So if the renter did not prepay, so Rav Yaakov Cohen said that he could not be obligated to pay because he could rely on the Shachar of the Taz. That even though the house was intact, the war situation created a Makas Medina exemption. However, if the renter did pay up front, then the landlord could be forced to refund the money because he could claim, I hold like the Machane Ephraim, or I hold like the Maram Tikton. That's based on something called Kimli. The principle of Kimli, it's hard to know the exact parameters, but Kimli generally means to say that in a financial dispute, I can say, if someone wants me to pay that him or her money, I can say, and there's an unresolved discussion. There's no consensus as to a particular halakhic point. I can say, you can say, well, I hold like this opinion. But if I'm holding the money, I can say I hold like the opposite opinion. So if let's say the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah pass in a certain way and nobody argues on him, and there's like a minor league Rishon somewhere that disagrees, but the consensus and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and no one argues on them the generation after, that this is the halacha, that no one else can say, Kimli, I hold like some other, that minor league Rishon. But in our situation, it's not clear that there's no consensus regarding what happens if someone prepays the money. So therefore, Rav Yaakov Cohen held that if he didn't prepay, he doesn't have to pay. If he did prepay, the landlord cannot be forced to refund the money because he can say, I follow the Machane Ephraim. However, he writes, it's appropriate to write to reach some kind of compromise. And again, because you might be able to argue also that a house in a war zone might be like a house that's burnt down, because you can't really live in such a house where you're very concerned that any moment a rocket's going to hit. Rav Asher Weiss believes the halacha is like the shach and the taz, and therefore he said that you cannot compel the renter to pay for the rental period affected by a makas medina. And even if a down payment was previously advanced, the landlord must refund it in totality. So the question is, how would you view a hotel? So on the one hand, if the state and local governments ban gatherings of more than a few people, then you might argue that even according to the Machane Ephraim, that even if I advance the funds, so maybe I can still get even the Machane Ephraim would agree that I would get back the money. Why? Because if the government banned gatherings of more than a few people, and if you're a hotel, you were not legally allowed to have anyone. So it's not merely the hotel can't say, "Well, I'm willing to perform," and you, who paid for the hotel, you're not willing to come. No, the hotel cannot have anyone. So maybe even in this case, the Machane Ephraim and the Maram Titkin would agree that this is more like a house that burnt down, in which case they would have to refund the money. However, maybe if the wedding hall rental fee covered the series of multiple employees and service providers and they had to pay expenses up front, so maybe the portion of the fee may be subject to the rules of Makas Medina as they apply to the employees. We saw in a previous year that if there's Makas Medina and an employee was hired, you may have to pay the employee if there's a Makas Medina. So if I'm prepaying to the hotel, so you might be able to argue that some of the money goes to the employee, maybe. Rav Zilberstein, though, believes, he wrote in Kovetz Vavi HaMudim V'chashu Kehem in Simon Ches, specific case, Misha Bitel Se'ulam Chasnos, if someone basically had to cancel out a hotel hall, a wedding hall, does the Bala Ulam have to pay him back? So he concludes no. He says the following, that in our situation, that since the government forbade the wedding halls to have weddings, and if they do so, they're going to have to pay a penalty, then it's like the field burnt down. It's like the house has been destroyed. And also, you sometimes have to take into consideration that, let's say, the renter ran away, but maybe the landlord could have got someone else to rent the house. But, or similarly, in the hotel situation or wedding hall. So if the guy backs out because of a pandemic, maybe they could have got someone else. But in our situation, they can't get anyone else. So he thinks the money should be returned. I'll just conclude with what Rav Schachter wrote. Rav Schachter, in one of his many, many beautiful tshuvos on the situation, he said the following. The current crisis presents many issues of Jewish civil law and conflicts between parties as to issues of payments and refunds. There will be many factors for a basin to evaluate. In general, proprietors of Pesach programs are paid both for the experience and goods they provide and for their own expenses invested in preparing the program. When the program is canceled due to events outside their controls in this situation, a basin will have to assess how much of their money should be refunded and how much is justifiably kept to cover their own losses and to compensate them for the efforts already expended. A basin will also factor in how much financial aid will be provided from the government or from insurers when calculating the reimbursement, among many other considerations. Even if the letter of law demands that proprietors do refund large sums of money, the program participants should keep in mind that Jewish people are identified by mercy and compassion and are commanded to go above and beyond in being sensitive to needs and struggles of others. Sometimes it is appropriate to demonstrate this mercy by forgiving a debt when it is clear that the debtor is truly struggling financially. So he suggests, or Schachter suggests, perhaps pshara, to try to compromise. Doesn't mean half-half, but to try to form some kind of compromise. In sum, what we said was the following. That in the case of Makas Medina, so then it seems, if the house burns down because of Makas Medina, then the renter doesn't have to pay. The lessee does not have to pay. If it's a pandemic, Shinui Avir, a change in the air, so you do have the Maram Tikten, who says that this is a situation where the landlord can perform, the house didn't burn down, and the renter decides to leave. Again, it's due to an unavoidable circumstance, but he bears the risk of loss. However, the Shach and Taz disagree, and therefore, if the renter didn't pay, it's hard to argue to compel the renter to pay. If he prepays, so then you have the Machane Ephraim, on whom the landlord can rely on to sort of to not refund the money. Rav Asher Weiss says, though we've passed like the Shach and Taz, you do have to refund the money. And in a situation where the government did not allow the hotels or the wedding halls or the Pesach programs to operate, so it would seem then that even the Machane Ephraim might agree that that's a situation where the landlord or the hotel manager or the wedding hall owner could not perform, in which case he would have to refund the money. The only argument, perhaps, not to refund the money is if the money went to perhaps prepaying for certain expenses that had to be incurred when planning for the wedding or the Pesach program or the hotel, or maybe to pay some workers. So maybe there an argument could be made to not refund some of the money.